Test. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we're about to get into the podcast, Stan.
All right.
So,
I tell you what, Jay. I don't. I'm kind of been thinking about what I want to talk about this week, and did you hear that?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard something. You know, I've been a little bit disappointed in some of the stuff I've been reading. You know, since Saturday and. About
they've just been grilling all these players and coaches and all that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's wait a minute, there it was again.
Well, I think I heard it that time.
Yeah, well, anyway, it just seems like there's just, I mean, almost like, you know, blood in the water. I mean, these people are circling, you know, disappointing with the coaches. Jay, I mean,
we might be in trouble here.
I mean, I don't know. It's coming, Jay. I think it's definitely. Oh no! Oh, it's Fellowship of the Miserable.
The following is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle.
Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn!
Oh, yeah! War Eagle, baby! It is on! Woo!
This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
Somewhere.
Real Auburn fans bleed orange and blue. What about you? And now, your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb for AUFans.com.
Welcome, everyone, and War Eagle. I am your host, Stan Stevens.
War Eagle, I'm your host, Jay Webb, and this is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
All right, Jay. It's a somber a weekend or podcast time for us this week.
I can feel it right here in the studio.
Yes, it's this is
you're
true.
You're wearing sackcloth and ashes.
Yes, I thought I'd get completely into character tonight. tough night over in Athens, Georgia, Jay. Our Auburn Tigers. Fell to the Georgia Bulldogs 34-7, and it was a game that I think caught a lot of us off guard. I mean, I think I predicted I think I got Georgia's score right, but we came up 31 points short of what I had predicted for our Tigers.
Yeah.
Like I say, it was a tough night. You know, you start out 7-0. I mean, it had a promising beginning.
Oh, man, it was beautiful right there at the beginning.
That's right. We just took our opening possession and we took it right down the field. We go up 7-0. We held them. We get the ball back. We didn't move it. We held them again. They punt to us. Jay, late in the first quarter, Quan Bray calling a fair catch. Drops the punt, fumble. Georgia recovers. Now, I don't know if you saw the replay of it, where the Georgia guy just runs right in front of Quan Bray right before he catches the ball. Now, I guess technically that was not interference; he didn't touch him. But that little bit of lack of concentration, I think, on Quan Bray's part caused him to drop the football. Well, three plays later. Jay, Georgia's in the end zone. It's tied up. But still, it's basically 7-7 going into the second quarter. We had some other chances in the first half. Now, almost starting pretty much in the second quarter, though, you could tell Georgia's dominance of the line of scrimmage started to show up. I mean, with Gurley and more so Nick Chubb. They're Georgia's sensational freshman running back. Now, you know, there's, Jay, been a lot of talk about, you know, what happened, and, you know, we'll get into some of that. But for all the pontificating out there about, you know, this and that about football, I mean, it really boils down to blocking and tackling.
That's it.
I know that's not going to come as a surprise to the AU fans, the Talking Tiger listeners, but the line of scrimmage is where almost all football is won. If you control, if your offensive line controls their defensive front and vice versa, you know, you're going to ultimately probably win the game. Now, there's a lot of other little nuances that go on, but the bottom line, Saturday night was Georgia's offensive line just opened up some just gaping holes on that Auburn defensive front. And, you know, having watched the film again, they're coming off the ball, but, I mean, these Georgia guys were engaging them and just shoving open holes that almost me and you could run through, Jay.
Yeah, certainly.
And then offensively, again, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Coach Ellis and his defense. And by the way, Jay, let me just interject right here. You know, I heard this quote from Coach Johnson, and it's really true. You know, Southern guys, Southern men, there's two things they think they know about. They think they know how to win a NASCAR race, and they think they know how to coach. And boy, has that ever been true since this game. I mean,
they've shown up in droves.
Yes, yeah. I mean the board is just by the way, the internet. You know, if I had my say so, we'd shut the thing down probably after an Auburn defeat because, I mean, these people. you know, I'm not going to get biblical on you here, Jay, but. I mean, we're just like the Jews of old. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got your 12 spies going into the promised land and, you know, and then they come back and only two guys say, yeah, we can take it. And the other 10 just, well, I mean, these Auburn folks, I mean, they're ready to fire people. Let's fire Coach Ellis because I'm not sure why yet. Because the defense, because we didn't control the line of scrimmage. Oh, really? So I guess I mean, if we had Vince Lombardi coaching the defense, if we can't stop Georgia Saturday night, let's just fire everybody. Yeah. I mean, I've about had it with that, Jay. Now, luckily, and me and you're fortunate, the listeners that we have, I know most of them, if not all of them, and they're pretty pretty upbeat, positive people. Yeah. Everybody's disappointed by losing.
Sure.
Try to find somebody more disappointed about losing than me. Go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm just sick. And of course, you know, people say, well, why do you read that stuff? Well, there was an interesting article on Auburn Undercover by the legendary Philip Marshall that basically said the coaches and players admitted they hear the criticism. See, some of these folks, they're not listening. It's not getting back to them from the internet. No, they hear it, and the recruits hear it.
Yeah.
And some of these guys, and while I'm on it, there's this idea about sunshine pumping. You're a sunshine pumper because you choose to be a little more positive. Say, okay, yeah, we didn't, but let's try to clean it up. No, you got the fellowship of the miserable out there, Jay, and they want to fire everybody. And then they know exactly everybody quit. That's what they did. They quit on us. Oh, really? And I guess you were at the workouts at 6 o'clock in the morning with our strength and conditioning coach Ryan Russell. That's where. Not my Talking Tiger listeners, find these people for me. And let them know that, you don't appreciate, again, it's just like I was saying earlier. I mean, we're 3-9 and 0-8, 3-9 and 0-8 2 years ago. In 1 year, we win the Southeastern Conference Championship, play for the National Championship, and we're 13 seconds from winning that. And that's not good enough for people. Because everybody's expectation, mine included, were that we're going to be in that Final Four this year. Well, guess what? You know, there's some other teams out there that had, their designs on the championship.
Yeah, and, they got the same hopes.
That's right.
Same hopes and dreams.
And so, this team, had a couple of, I mean, we had a tough game. You know, we here's the thing, Jay. We have made, compared to last year, the mistakes, the turnovers, the penalties. You know, we've been talking about that every week.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know the reason why, you know, one year maybe there's more of whatever. But, you know, the Texas A&M game, I mean, that was a tough one. Mississippi State, and we'll talk about them in a little bit, but they showed that they're a good football team playing at their place. That was a tough game. But, you know, I think maybe the A&M game took a lot out of us. And, I mean, frankly, Georgia, we got the good Georgia, you know. I mean, we had our chances. Now, again, that first turnover, starting the second half, Jay, we had a big, big drop by Sammy Coates, who's a great player, and then followed up by Ricardo Lewis dropping a very catchable ball. Mm-hmm. In the first half, Jay, we have a kick. You couldn't try to miss a block in a kick. If you tried any closer than the kid came out, and I mean, he was there. I mean, he could have almost taken the ball in the air and not tried to block it. If you watch the replay, it was so close. Wow. And yet, somehow he doesn't even get any of the ball, and because of that, he roughed the kicker. You know, you see these kind of plays. These plays had as much to do with the final outcome, even though it was 34-7, than any so-called lack of effort or poor coaching or whatever else. But, again, the Fellowship of the Miserable, they're out there. And, you know, if recruits go other places or coaches do because, you know, I think that's where they need to man up and take responsibility. I don't know what's gained. Certainly, I don't have a problem with somebody saying, hey, I'm disappointed. What do you think happened here? What do we need to recruit? But just to, as some of these guys do on the board, Jay, just to trash coaches and players and, I don't know. We need to get a life is what we need to do. So, anyway, I'll climb down from my soapbox.
I should have sold tickets to that. Well, if I'd known that was going to happen.
That was almost like a tent revival, wasn't it? So, the Georgia game, as far as, you know, the analysis of the game there, I mean, there's not, like I said, there were some big plays that made a difference. That first turnover by Quan Bray changed things. The punt block that should have been. I mean, not only did, again, as I'm going back, but not only did we get a 15-yard penalty and Georgia go down and get some more points, that's a play there that should have been blocked and run back. I mean, it should have been 14-14. We should have blocked that and run that in for a touchdown. There was nobody, you know, behind the punter to stop that from happening. So, you know, that's a tremendous opportunity missed. Second half, like I said, we stop them. We get the ball. We don't get any points out of that drive. And really, Jay, Georgia's offensive line just, I mean, it was one of those nights when they were just blowing holes. And honestly, Nick Chubb and Todd Gurley and unfortunately Gurley got his, you know, he blew out his knee. But before then, Gurley and Chubb, maybe two of the best backs in the country, and you give them big holes. I don't really know what you can say. I mean, you'd have to be a coach to grade the film out to see if, you know, they were getting the pad level where they needed the defensive lineman I'm talking about. How was Georgia able to, control the line of scrimmage like they did? I mean, again, it looked to me like Auburn's defensive front were firing off, but, I mean, they were being engaged, and they were just being shoved out of the way, and then you got two great running backs. So, I mean, that's kind of how it went the rest of the night. The biggest mystery would have been our offense. Where did it go? I mean, this is a game Auburn needed to have scored in the upper 20s, the 30s to have the chance. Losing Duke Williams, I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, sometimes you can just, you know, people, it's excuse. Well, you have to find ways to win no matter what. Yeah. I mean, that is Coach Malzahn and anybody else would tell you that. But I mean, the reality is, you know, Auburn, our playmakers, Sammy Coates, again, dropping passes. Duke Williams was a big, big part of that offense. And you can rest assured a healthy Duke Williams would have made a difference. Now, would it have made enough of a difference? Well, I don't know. You know, Nick threw the ball pretty well. People, everybody wants Jeremy Johnson in the game. I like Jeremy Johnson. I mean, I think the guy's got, you know, next level kind of ability. But for what Coach Malzahn and them are doing offensively and running that zone read, it would be a completely different offense sure. to have Jeremy in there the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have to have some receivers stepping up. Defensive coordinators are not going to – they're not going to worry about Jeremy running the ball. That's just not what he does. So, you know, the running game would be different. And Coach Malzahn can run that kind of offense. He did it at Tulsa, Jay. I mean, he had quarterbacks at Tulsa that you've never heard of that were throwing for 400 yards a game kind of thing. I mean, yeah. we can run, but the offense just has not been built around that. Mm. So, going into this week, you know, we got Samford for homecoming. We're not gonna give you a bunch of, you know, reasons why. I mean, Auburn should line up and beat Samford comfortably just because we're so much more talented athletically. Now, I love Samford, Coach Sullivan. Maybe the greatest of all Tigers head yeah. coach in there. They've had a good year.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Auburn just goes in there completely, just is as flat as you can be, Samford could probably move the ball. I mean, everybody's moved the ball on us. Again, our offense needs to really pick it up and get this game over pretty much close to halftime so that we can play some of the kids, Jay, that normally don't get to play that have earned a right to, you know, yeah. step out on, you know.
Yeah, give them some experience.
That's right.
Sure.
And plus they've earned it to get into a game. Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be pretty much it, Samford. I mean, it's homecoming, and hopefully, you know, Auburn will come out and play as hard as they need to and take care of business early in that game. So where do we go from here now, Jay? Obviously, some of the big goals – sadly, are gone. Auburn cannot win the West. They're not going to be in the Final Four or anything like that. But there's still a lot to play for. I mean, you've got, of course, the big game in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's vital that Auburn, you know, perfect what they're doing to find a way to improve, you know, the penalties and mistakes. Work on the fundamentals. I imagine Auburn will be working a lot on the Alabama game this week and next week. So, yeah. So that's big. Plus, there's, I mean, you know, a 10-win season still out there. You know, beating Samford, you have a lot to play for to try to beat Alabama. You know, you want to keep your rival from going to the national championship game, and so that's, you know, that's on the table there. It's going to be a tough assignment. I'll talk about Alabama from this past weekend in just a minute, but going to Tuscaloosa is tough. I mean, Alabama is a great football team and probably the best team in the land right now.
Man, going to their house that doesn't help us any.
That's not. Now, we've had a good record over there, but, yeah. you know, I mean, each game stands on its own, and right now Alabama's playing a good bit better than we are. But, I mean, so you've got that hope, though. Then, you know, a bowl game, wherever it is, you want to get ready to be able to, you know, get as good a bowl as possible mm-hmm. and build toward next year. I mean, you know, I think Gus Malzahn is the guy. I mean, you just can't – one game and or whatever doesn't, to me, define what this guy is capable of doing. He's won – you know, his whole life, and, you know, given the proper tools and patience from people and getting behind the program, I mean, we'll be back, you know, maybe next year. So, but anyway, so there's a lot of football left to be played and improvement and a lot of young people to hopefully get in the game to get ready for next season. So, you know, it's disappointing, Jay, anytime – you know, you have your sights set high, and I mean, just a few weeks ago, you're in the top four, and you know you're feeling it, and so that's you know, but you find out about yourself, you find out about the people around you,
yeah,
and you find out, you know, about everybody when things don't go your way,
right?
I mean, so That's a challenge for Auburn people and certainly for this football team. Now, again, Jay, looking briefly at this past weekend games, the big game was obviously in Tuscaloosa between number one ranked Mississippi State and five Alabama. It was a great football game. You could see why Alabama has been as successful as they've been. I mean, their defense is physical, it's fast, it's talented on the back end. I mean, their defensive backs, they really, ran out early on Mississippi State. State showed, though, why they were number one. And you could see this was a team that had 29 seniors Mississippi State has.
Yeah.
They didn't go away, and they battled, and it was a battle. Alabama, basically went up by two touchdowns late. It was up by 12, and then Mississippi State drove finally and cut it to five. But essentially, there was no time left. So,
yeah.
It was a great football game between two really good. And Jay, don't be surprised. Depending on how it shakes out, you might see an Alabama Mississippi State rematch in that Final Four, but there'll be a lot of football to be played before that, that comes about. But that was a big game in Tuscaloosa, and probably the most I don't even know how to say it, heartbreaking, but for Florida, just odd games. South Carolina came back from a game that they were absolutely beat. I mean, Florida had two kicks blocked, Jay, in the last 5 minutes. They had a field goal that would have put them up 20-10 and would essentially ended the game. Had it blocked, South Carolina recovers, takes over. They stop them. Florida gets the ball back, runs almost the clock out, then has a punt blocking. And here's the thing. On this punt, this guy comes running free. I'm just thinking, what has happened to special teams? But anyway, and then, of course, South Carolina still has to drive it down there and scores with 12 seconds to put it into overtime.
Yeah.
And then in overtime, the Gators lose. And, of course, Coach Muschamp was fired Sunday. So that was just an incredibly odd way to lose a football game. If you sat there and watched it, it's almost you couldn't believe it. Tennessee continue their good work by blasting a hapless Kentucky Wildcats. Now, Tennessee's shown some life under this new quarterback, Josh Dobbs, but make no mistake about it, Jay. They came back at the very end and beat an average South Carolina team, and then they pummeled, Kentucky at home. And but here's the thing, we'll talk about this in a second. We'll find out about just how far they've come this week's game. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Texas A&M went back to their pre-Auburn days and
right.
And lost to Missouri at home. Actually, it was a pretty good game. A&M did look better, really? With this. And this Kyle Allen kid, I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback for A&M.
Yeah.
And
he's got some time is the thing.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got lots of time to improve, and he'll be a force next couple of years.
He's 18. Jay, that's amazing. But
anyway,
Missouri, but here's the thing, and we'll talk about this in just a second. Missouri goes in there and beats them at A&M and keeps their hopes alive for the Eastern Division Championship. We'll talk about that in just a second. In a somewhat shocking to some people, not to me, Arkansas beats LSU 17-0 to give Burt Bielema his first SEC win. And I forget how many they'd lost in a row, about 15 under him or whatever it was. But Arkansas just dominated. I'm sure LSU still had a hangover from that Tide loss. Mm. But Arkansas had been close. Had been close.
Yeah.
I mean, they were close to beating Alabama.
That's right.
They had Texas A&M beat,
mm-hmm,
before we knew just how kind of bad Texas A&M was going to be on occasion. But anyway, they beat LSU. That was pretty mad. It was a pretty exciting, weekend for really, big games. Now, what all that set up was this. Alabama to win the West has to basically, you know, beat us. You know, if they beat us now, if they could actually win it another way, because here's the thing, Jay, this weekend, Ole Miss travels to Arkansas. That's going to be a tough game for the Rebels, Rebel Black Bears. I mean, the way Arkansas is playing, and now that they picked up, they broke that, you know, they broke the glass ceiling and got that W. The Rebels better be ready. That's going to be a That is going to be one more game there. And then Ole Miss, of course, finishes up with Mississippi State. So there's a lot of possibilities. Basically, Alabama, Mississippi State, or Ole Miss can win, you know, can win the West. Now, in the East, it's down to this. Georgia's finished at 6-2. Right now, Missouri is 5-1. For Missouri to win the Eastern Division, they have to beat Tennessee this Saturday in Knoxville, and then they have to the following week they have Arkansas, which would be a tough game, but it's at home. But it's clear for Missouri. They go to Knoxville and beat Tennessee. They come home and beat Arkansas at home, and they win it.
And they got it. Yeah.
If they lose either of those games, Georgia goes because Georgia beat Missouri head to head.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure there's a lot of probably teams in the that's left in the West pulling for Missouri, because I think it's it's perceived that obviously Missouri is weaker than, and the score would indicate that Georgia went into Missouri 34-0.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much this weekend's games. Again, the other ones we're not even going to mention, Jay. We've got
dismal.
Bama's got Western Carolina, like I say, we've Sanford.
Yeah.
Georgia plays Charleston Southern, some of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
That about wraps it up for this week's SEC and Auburn talk. One other thing, Jay.
Yeah.
I know we were having a staff meeting earlier, and we're thinking about folks, putting a T-shirt there on our, that you might want to pick up for Christmas. For some of those Auburn fans that are a little bit negative, it's going to be a blue and orange. What have you done for me lately? I think that's going to be that'll be the defining T-shirt for the FOM, as I'm. I think
that's
it's FOM. Would it be
Fellowship of the Miserable?
Yes.
We'll go to Twitter and do the hashtag FOM.
Hashtag FOM. Fellowship of the Miserable. Seek them out. Talking Tiger fans.
They don't seem to be too hard to find either.
I don't know. Anyway, that's what have you done for me lately? So, anyway, Jay, disappointing loss, but War Eagle. Anyway, we've got we need to get healed up, get better. There's a possibility that you might see Duke Williams for the Bama game. So
that'd be great.
Let's get the guys practicing. Let's get a win at homecoming, and then let's get ready and see if we can make a game of it over in Tuscaloosa.
Sounds good to me. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Jay.
You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, with your hosts Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!